It's Saturday morning. Time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. It is Saturday morning, and Larry here is ready to take your phone calls and provide the best answer you can get over the radio and through a phone call. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Charles. How are you today?
I'm doing well. We are finally into spring.
And hey, this is the busiest time of the year.
It is.
You bet. So, golly, first thing on the agenda is still time to cut back that monkey grass. I see a lot of people haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So get that weed whacker going.
Okay.
Cut it back. I tried it with my electric hedge shears.
Didn't work.
Bound them up tight as can be. but then I got the weed eater going, and then the string broke, but it still worked anyway.
Okay. So the monkeys have left the yard, huh?
Yes, right. That monkey grass under control. Use Nandina's Holly Specific. We got a caller.
We do have a caller.
Very good.
Good morning. You're early caller. We'll take you on the air. Good morning. What can we do for you today?
I have a dogwood, and this is my first spring to have it.
Right.
So I planted it last fall. So I'm just wondering what's a time schedule for it, when it will maybe bloom.
The dogwood sets its blooms in late July.
Oh, that late?
Yeah, that's when they set their blooms.
It was earlier than that.
So that's when they set their blooms. And then they bloom out right around Easter every year. Easter's a little early this year, so... They're just
they
now starting
around Easter then, huh?
Yeah, you should see some buds on the tips.
Yeah, I do see the buds.
Okay.
I just didn't know how long it would take it to.
Well, they kind of go whenever they want to and whenever the weather's right. So typically after the forsythias and the quince are blooming, which are just coming into peak right now. So they're not too long from now.
So it would be not unreasonable to say 2 or 3 weeks she should have some good blooms.
Well, if it gets good and warm today, yeah, probably 1 week. But then again, it's supposed to rain all week next week. Thank you, Charlie. I'm busy. But and it might slow down a little bit with the rain.
Now, how long do the blooms stay on? I don't remember.
Oh, you'll get 2 weeks out of them. Unless it gets hot, then probably a week. But last year, they seemed like they were in bloom forever last week. I mean, last year, rather.
And then do leaves start coming on about the time the blooms are, or is it?
Yeah, on the Cornus florida, which is probably what you have, the leaves come out after the blooms.
Okay.
On the Cornus calca, the blooms come after the leaves. They should be in bloom within a week or week or two, and then those leaves will be subsequent.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling out. What you want to do with it right now, are you still online?
Yeah.
Is perhaps give it a moderate fertilization.
Okay.
Do that on an annual basis, just as it starts to grow. Not too much. If you give it too much, the edges of your flowers might get too brown. So you just want to take it easy on it. Or you might want to wait till after it blooms. But it's a good idea to give it not too much of a fertilizer, but just enough to urge it along a little bit. And, is that a word, urge?
It must be. You just used it.
Urge. Yeah. Urge it along a little bit. and that'll help it out. So we got some rain coming, so you might give it just a little bit of fertilizer.
Out around the drip line.
Yep, out away from the tree. Don't put it on the trunk, but way out. You want to encourage those roots to grow out, so put it far out from the tree.
Okay.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling.
Appreciate that. Phone call 800-749-5936, and I'll telephone number to get you on with Larry Glass on Green Country Gardener. Thank you so much for that call, and we are hoping for more. So what's going on in the garden this week?
The garden this week, it's time to get your soil ready for annuals. It's too early for annuals.
Yeah.
Too early for tomatoes.
Yes.
The problem with putting out tomatoes early is we get potassium deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that last week.
A little bit.
And the leaves actually turn purple and it doesn't grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as it warms, they just take off. So.
And it doesn't do the tomatoes any good. They're going to sit there until it gets warm anyway.
It's risky to plant your tomatoes at this point in time.
Yeah.
So don't even think of it. Get the dirt ready if you haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people buy these tomato plants with good intentions, and then it rains for a week, then they sit there and have to buy new ones.
Yep.
So you want to make sure your garden is ready and buy them and get them in the ground right away.
Okay.
Because they do grow and they do develop quickly, and they need the root space for them to really develop nicely. If they stay in the pots too long, they get root bound. It's very difficult for them to grow on after that. So, yeah, it's a good idea to buy your tomato plants early, but then again, you don't want to buy them too early. Typically, the middle of April. I don't plant mine till the 1st of May, really.
Okay.
That way, the ground temperature is up a little bit, and we got the more consistent nighttime temperatures for your tomatoes. So, if you haven't prepared your soil, you might want to go ahead and do that. But anyway, compost works very well, just a packaged compost.
Okay.
You can inquire about what variety of tomatoes we might have. We usually have the, you know, the Better Boy, the Big Boy, and Early Girls, and so all that.
Those are
Sweet
brand.
100s. We'll have those, and we'll have some heirloom tomatoes as well.
Okay, yeah, those are brands that have been around and been successful for decades. So
exactly, and pick an area that good air drainage. We got a caller.
We do have a caller. Good morning, caller. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
Well, good morning. You were mentioning tomato a little bit ago.
Yeah.
And this year I would like to have some kind of tomato that I could hang from my carport, because otherwise the squirrels just demolish the ones in the pot.
Squirrels are going to find food regardless of where you put it, but I hear you.
Well, you can give it the old college try, and there is a variety called Sweet 100. It's or any variety that's what's called indeterminate. The vining type tomatoes.
That'll grow over. Does that include the grape tomatoes?
Yeah, the grape ones, that would be a Sweet 100 is what we call
cherry. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, Sweet 100 is a cherry tomato, and they grow very quickly, and it's kind of pretty when they bloom.
I will try to outsmart the squirrels this year.
Good luck.
You know. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay, good luck on that one. The French word for squirrel is acuroy, king of the acorns. So,
really? Huh? Well, I've got a little dog that keeps him out of our yard. So.
Okay.
Boy, does he get mad.
Oh, well, yeah.
Man, he gets mad at those hairs all bristling up, and he runs out. And for some odd reason, they just disappear when he gets there. They're kind of an elusive goal he'll never get. But anyway, we talked about cutting back stuff. And it's time to divide that monkey grass, too. If it's real clumpy and heavy, you can split it up and make more of it. If you want to do a border, for instance, or you want to put more groups and areas of that, I got to do that to mine. It's been there 30 years, and it's a pretty big clump. So it's time to break it up a little bit.
Okay.
So that can be done also. The hostas, I really haven't seen much emergence on the hostas yet. So
okay.
They're still kind of sleeping through this, but I expect this coming week we'll see them come up.
I think with the increased rain and warmer temperatures for nighttime, we're probably likely to see them pop up real soon.
Yeah, they'll be up this week too. So,
but if you could take some time this weekend, if you haven't already divided them, you wouldn't be too late, I guess. If I think I hear you saying.
Right, the peonies are coming up too, so be careful when you're raking out your beds. The new sprouts on the peony bushes are very tender.
Yeah,
and you can break them off.
Yeah,
well, there
Set
goes that
thing
show.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So be very careful with them. Right now, they're just a red color.
Mm-hmm.
These little red stalks coming up, and those are the peonies. So be careful of those when you rake out the leaves of your bed and things.
Okay.
I talked about hostas and peonies. Something else I was going to talk about. Anyway, the forsythias, like I said, are blooming right now.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's time to put down the crabgrass control.
Okay.
So typically St. Patrick's Day or shortly thereafter is time to do that. We've got till the middle of April to do that. So if you don't want crabgrass, now's the time. You have a ground floor opportunity right now to control crabgrass.
Mm-hmm.
So get it done and make it so. So
okay.
So I put it down in my yard before that little rain we had last Sunday.
You'll be all set, ready to go.
Yeah, so it's already worked into the ground a little bit. So I need to put a little bit more into those little parkways between the sidewalk and the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I ran out before I had a chance to do all that. And that's where it is the worst, because I get all the crabgrass coming up from that farm south of us.
Oh.
and it hits my curb. And the seed gets stuck there. So I got to put some more on my on that area.
Okay. 800-749-5936. We'll take a first break on this hour and continue with more of your calls and more from Larry Glass coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals.
A towable boom cherry picker where you can get up high and do some tree trimming.
Yep, we have two different sizes. Usually keep a 50 and a 34 footer. Just like the big booms, you tow it behind your pickup, you spot it, you can trim your tree, you can paint your house, fix your soffits, whatever works for you. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Spring is upon us, and that means it's time to use pre-emergence for your lawn. Green Thumb Nursery has pre-emergence that will tackle those weeds and 5-star fescue blend for sowing. Check out their geraniums, over 1,000 in stock to choose from, and be sure to pick up your shamrock plants too. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
The First Presbyterian Church in Bartlesville at 5th and Dewey invites you, your friends and family to join us this Palm Sunday at 8:45 a.m. Our contemporary service of joy and praise, welcoming Jesus as the Messiah. At 11 a.m. the traditional service begins with a procession into the sanctuary, waving palm branches and singing All Glory loud and honor. Join us this Sunday, 8:45 and 11 a.m.
First Presbyterian Church, 5th and Dewey.
The telephone number to get you on to Green Country Gardener this Saturday morning with Larry Glass. And our forecast generally for this Saturday, sunshine, headed for a high in the 70s, so it should be a good day for the gardener to...
Would be. Yeah. Now, the point I brought up that I was going to bring up but I forgot about...
Yes.
...is the Bermuda grass is starting to grow.
Oh, okay.
So it's too late to use Roundup on your weeds in the garden or in the lawn. So...
Now you have to go back to those other methods.
Had to go to the other methods, yeah. Get your screwdriver out and dig up the weeds or something like that. So it's getting a little late for that. So there are some, there's a chemical you could use that'll kill the bluegrass without killing the Bermuda grass.
Oh, okay.
It's I forget the name of it, but we've got it in there. It's called nut grass control, and it'll control those other grasses too.
Looks for something specific genetically for those other grasses that's not in.
Mm-hmm. So you can selectively, but be very careful with the dosage on that.
Read the label directions.
Always.
Good morning, caller. You are up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Is this a good time to fertilize a fescue yard?
Yeah, it's a prime time for that. Fescue is just starting to wake up.
Okay, so, what type of fertilizer would you use on it?
I would start with maybe a 16-8-8 or something. Not too heavy on the nitrogen at this point, just to kind of wake it up, give it a little phosphorus and potassium. And then you can apply the heavy nitrogen in about a month or so.
About a month or so, okay. Uh-huh.
Fescue,
and
grass.
And then what about transplanting raspberry?
Raspberry plant transplanting, they're not quite out yet. The ones that I've seen are not quite out yet. So I would say you probably have a margin of safety at this point in time to transplant those.
Okay, when you transplant them, do you cut off a lot of the stem growth?
That would be a good idea, to cut off some of the stem growth. Get as much of the root as possible. And if the soil falls off, you want to plant it back in mud. So you get good soil contact to the roots. So it's probably
put it down real good when you transplant it.
Put it down real good. If the soil mass or soil ball does stay intact, then you can just water it down real good. But if you lose your root ball, the ground's a little dry, it might fall apart. Put it in the hole and put a lot of dirt and water and mud in there, and then you should do all right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
And I think you have in the past with fescue lawns emphasized some of the trace elements, copper and iron and some of the other.
Sure. Yeah. Iron, zinc, and whatnot. And that'll help it turn. We have a product called Southern Green Maker. Middle Oregonite works real well, too, for fescue grass.
Okay.
And it deepens the green color. You see that lawn in the neighborhood, that fescue lawn that is so dark green and beautiful. Well, they've added some extra iron to it. You can look on the iron. You can look on the sidewalk or the driveway and see orange little. What?
Yeah. No, I can see that picture, that orange on the.
Yeah,
staining
little specks of orange on the sidewalk, and that's an indication that they have used fertilizer with iron sulfate in it, and it'll help deepen the green color and also make your sidewalks pretty and orange too. So get your leaf blower out and blow it off after you put on the fertilizer. Got a color?
Particularly if your school colors are green and orange or something like that.
Well, if you're OSU, you're in good shape.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, is it time to scallop that Bermuda?
It is time to do that, yes.
Doke.
Yeah, the Bermuda grass
is starting to grow. I hadn't noticed mine started to grow yet, but I thought, well, it's getting about that.
Well, look on the south side of the house. You'll see it close to the edge of the driveway. Look real close. You'll see it starting to come out.
The south side of mine is right next to the college, so there's no driveway. But anyway,
okay. Wherever there's good sun exposure next to the pavement, you'll start to see some green.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, caller. It is that time, and you're on the air with Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah. My backyard, I need to blossom it up a little bit. Would that weed and feed that they got out at Lowe's work good to help, green up the yard?
For the hen bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the weeds in the yard, yeah. If you have Bermuda grass?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you use weed and feed, you're putting down some fertilizer that the grass probably will get washed in before the grass has a chance to utilize it. But they just use the fertilizer as a carrier, so don't expect it to do anything to the grass because it won't be up for another 3 weeks or so. The weed and feed should work okay. Look at the bag carefully, and look at how long it has to be before you have to apply water, or before you can apply water to it.
Okay.
Some of them have different times in which you can water it in. It's a good idea on some of them to leave it on the ground for a couple of days and then water it. And some of them say water it right away. You just have to look at the instructions very carefully on that. We've had some people come in and they said, it worked great on my front yard, but it didn't work on the backyard. What happened? Well, she probably watered the backyard after she put it down, but not the front yard. So read the instructions very carefully on that. But it will effectively... The hen bit is blooming right now, and traditionally it's just too late to do much of anything about it. Just kind of mow it down. It's going to die pretty soon anyway.
And particularly on the looking at that water, as I look at the forecast, other than today and tonight, for the rest of the week, I see varying percentages, but it reuses the word showers in every part of the forecast through about Thursday. So
there's a good chance of rain coming up. If it does require a dry out period, 2 days of it, well, you might be able to squeak it in today if you get it in.
Okay. I sure appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the call. We'll take a short break and continue with your calls on Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time.
Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the Sod Experts, Enterprise Sod Store at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Stop crabgrass in its tracks with Scott's Turf Builder and Halt's Crabgrass Preventer from Peters True Value in Dewey. 5,000 square feet of coverage is only $23.99, less a $2 mail-in rebate. This special formula halts crabgrass before it invades and protects all season. It's also fortified with lawn food to grow a lush green lawn once winter is ended. In addition, rain, snow, or freezing conditions won't affect its performance. Pick up this great bargain of the month while supplies last. Peters True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value. Limit to rate for household. Customer responsible for taxes and fees.
Are you at risk for oral cancer?
I never chew tobacco.
I don't drink much.
Never smoked a cigarette in my life.
You're three times as likely to get oral cancer if you drink or use tobacco. What about HPV?
HPV? Isn't that about cervical cancer?
What does that have to do with oral cancer?
You're 30 times more likely to get oral cancer if you have HPV or the human papillomavirus.
HPV? Didn't know that.
Learn more about HPV and oral cancer at myoms.org. This message is brought to you by your oral and facial surgeons.
The telephone number to get you onto Green Country Gardener, and we had a caller during the break. I hope they held on the line. Good morning. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, you didn't run me off that easy.
Okay, good.
No, not hardly.
Anyway, I had another question about scout nut and muted. Did I need to bag it?
You can. I scout my yard last weekend, and I used the mulching blade on it. And it got a ninja blade on my snapper, and it just turned it literally into smithereens. So I just left it on there.
It won't cause it to thatch or anything like that.
No. The thatch is dead stolons in the ground, real deep in the ground.
Okay. Well, yeah. I didn't want to smother it or anything like that, but if I chop it up good with my mulching blade, it'll be okay.
Should be just fine. Yeah.
I didn't want to bag it anyway.
I've been in my house. I'm in now for 14 years, and I've never bagged up my
grass. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think there are some misconceptions out there about mulching, and if we can clear up any misconceptions about anything, that's a good thing to do.
It's the grass needles up there on the surface. They decompose quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But the thatch builds up as it's growing. So about every 3 years, you do need to do a heavy dethatching on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that to mine this year. I got the little blade with the little springs on it.
Right.
Spun it around and it kicked up a lot of stuff. Oh, there's dirt under there. And dethatched it real good too this year, then zinged it with the crabgrass control. So that's what I guess the moles went away. They didn't like that. So
whatever causes the moles to go away can be a good thing.
Yeah, so I guess. So we were talking about weeds in the yard.
We were.
And right now the dandelions are coming up. The henbit is up and it's blooming. If they could breed that henbit to have a bigger flower, there would be a demand for it.
I have been asked several years, so once it's up, refrain from mowing until those nice little flowers go away.
Yeah, you really need to. The henbit is a tough one to control, mm-hmm. and one of the best holistic program is, if I'm using that word properly, I don't know, but anyway, is to put a pre-emergent down in the fall, as well as a follow-up application early in the spring as it comes up.
Yeah.
Once it blooms, it goes to seed, and you got a bunch of seeds all over the place. So it's you're going to have it again next year.
Yeah.
So, but it does sprout in September, October is when it grows.
Okay.
And it sits there down in the grass waiting for the day length to increase. It goes, in the fall, the day's getting shorter, and it stays shorter when the days get a certain length. It triggers a hormone growth, and then they grow like crazy.
Yeah.
For no other reason.
Then those little flowers are up there. And
they bloom. Yeah. They bloom for about 20 minutes. Then they make seeds about 5 minutes later. And then you got it again next year.
It does seem about that cycle, yeah.
So you're spraying it right now is okay. It'll knock out what's there. But the plant, if it's in bloom right now, it has insurance of its survivability next year. So... Okay. That's the deal with henbit. say with chickweeds, chickweeds got a lot of water in it, so mm-hmm. it can be a little difficult to control. But if you do have the chickweed, which is little tiny leaves and a very fleshy stem on it, And you can just grab it and just pull it up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. And it's real kind of heavy because there's a lot of water in it. It can be controlled with the 240 at this point. And, oh, there's some other odds and ends. Weeds in the yard you can control. But one of the better ways to control weeds is to make the grass healthy. And that's where you start with a fertilization program.
Okay.
Now, the Extension Service has fact sheets on when and what to do with your grass. And if you follow that, you'll have a pretty healthy lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a practice I've followed, you know, for a long time, except when I'm too lazy or I don't want to get out and do it. But or just unable to water it. But anyway, so you do want to fertilize basically on a monthly basis.
Okay.
In May, June, July, and August, and avoid fertilization, any heavy fertilization in September. At that point, you want to use like a 10-20-10 or something to get it ready for the winter.
Okay.
Build up the stolen growth. You don't want a lot of top growth, but you want those stolons to grow real well. If you get a lot of top growth, that makes the Bermuda grass susceptible to spring dead spot.
Mm-hmm.
And spring dead spot is that fungus where all of a sudden your grass has got dead spots all over it. And that's what we call spring dead spot.
Which, makes sense.
Which I don't think we're going to have much of this year because it didn't snow that much.
Hardly at all. Good morning, caller. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about my fig tree. When should that thing start budding?
You're breaking up.
So start your question again.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Is this better?
Yep.
Okay. I have a question about my fig tree.
Oh, fig tree. Yeah.
I wonder if it survived the really cold weather we had early on. I guess it was about in the middle of winter. But at any rate, I mulched it.
Uh-huh.
But I was wondering, when should it start budding up?
It should budding up.
New shoots.
Shooting up probably the middle of April, the 1st of May, around there. What you want to do right now is scratch the stem with your thumbnail or a knife or something to see if it's green down below the stem. The fig trees I've encountered at people's houses have died back to the ground or almost to the ground. So you can anticipate some significant dieback on the fig trees this year because of that rapid temperature change we had, that one event in January. So if it does, okay, doesn't come out from the top, you'll have to start from the bottom again. But the root system is still intact. There's a lot of stuff there to feed the top growth, so it'll grow rather quickly.
Okay, all right. Could I prune back the stems above where the green is?
Yeah, you might want to wait till it starts to leaf out so you know precisely where to cut it back, just so you don't have to do it again. But, yeah.
Okay. But great.
At this point
thank
in time.
Enjoy your guys' show. Keep
all
up.
Right. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank
have
you.
A great day.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I think I hear what you were trying to caution the caller against, so let me see if I got it right. He could cut it back now if he's sure where the dieback occurred.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might want to wait at least a few weeks so that you're not cutting out what could be healthy wood.
Exactly. I would wait till he's decent growth. So I kind of like to do that on the crepe myrtles. I got a big crepe myrtle in front of my house. Mm-hmm. I did some scratching on it last week, and I go, oh, no. I might have to start again on this one.
Yeah.
But I'll wait till April, end of April, until it starts to sprout. Then it'll tell me for sure how far back to cut it.
Okay.
Kind of the same thing with the fig trees. Now, on a regular basis on the fig trees in the fall, because we are at we're actually past the northern limits. If we get a zinger, it'll cut them back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to mulch them real heavily in the fall, just to ensure that the root system at least survives.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So we were talking about weeds earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of chemicals out there to use for weeds on your yard. So just ask somebody or just stop by and just, you know, read some labels. It'll tell you all about what to do. Information's there. Also, time to fertilize those trees now.
Yes.
I like to use like the Southern Greenmaker, the 1688. And on oak trees, you might want to apply something with some extra iron in it. If you have pecan trees, a fertilizer with a zinc supplement in it would help them out a lot, too.
Okay.
So trees, it's kind of the same thing with shrubs. I like to give them the hollies, the dwarf yaupon hollies typically has a kind of a olive green color, but the iron will deepen that green color, make them look a little more rich and lush and full and so on. So a fertilizer with iron will help them out too. Same with boxwoods. They tend to have a shinier, glossier leaf if they're healthy. So you might want to fertilize them real well. So a lot of stuff going on.
This is a busy time of year for getting everything growing and getting everything healthy for the rest of the year.
Let's see. Right now, still some time to plant some pansies if you want to. We've got some for sale for some brilliant color right now. The color will last until it gets really hot. Roses, you might want to think about getting some drift roses. We have some other variety of roses, some alternatives besides the knockout roses, that can give you some rose flowers without a lot of work. We've got some yellow ones and pink and red drift roses, which really are a really nice plant. They don't get so awful big.
We planted a couple of drift roses, I want to say midsummer more or less last year, and they just took right off. It didn't take long at all.
And they're starting to come up.
Yeah.
And I've got a drift rose in the backyard that I make a point to do nothing to it, absolutely nothing. And except, well, I cut it back this winter. But it's doing very well. And then to the left of that, I have a white rose that the customer gave me. And it's grown really like crazy, and it really makes a nice show when it blooms. And it's kind of a wild type rose, and it's very attractive too. So I've kind of experimented with different kinds of roses here and there. And Julia took a bit of a hit this last winter too.
You mentioned that.
She looks a little ragged, but she's coming back up from the roots.
Good.
So we'll have a good show of flowers from that this week. And my knockouts, I cut them back about a month ago, and they're starting to leap out and do real well too.
Sounds great.
So a lot's happening with the roses right now. If you do have the hybrid teas, the grafted ones, it's time to initiate a fungicide, insecticide program on those also.
Okay.
Azaleas also. I noticed at somebody's house, I was looking at her azaleas, and we looked, and we saw some
lace bugs?
Exactly, lace bug damage. On them from last year, and then ran my hand through it, and a couple of them actually flew out. So
everything's waking up.
Yeah,
so, unfortunately.
Yeah, all the bugs are coming out. I haven't seen a lot of flies though. They're late this year. What's the deal with the flies?
I'm not going to complain.
But anyway, the lace bugs are they'll be out pretty soon, and you want to use a systemic insecticide for the lace bugs on your azaleas.
Okay.
Look real closely at the leaves, and look for stippling of the leaves. And the customer says, "What's stippling?" And so look real close, and you see yellow spots on it. It's stippled. That's typically what we call in art class, and even in some of our architectural renderings, stippling with a pen. Well, the leaves are stippled, and then you look on the other side of the leaf. There are some brown spots where the insects entered the leaf to scoop at all the goody in between the epidermis up in the bottom epidermis, the palisade mesophyll, but. Anyway, so what I'm saying is if you got some azaleas, you really want them to look nice, you probably want to put some imidacloprid on them.
Oh, okay.
And also, if the leaves are really small, she had variable leaf size on the same species from one part of the yard to the other. And typically, a diminished leaf size is an indication that the soil pH is getting too high. So an azalea-type fertilizer. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you fertilized them? And I got a blank stare, you know. So you really need to do that once a year to fertilize them to get them going.
Okay.
Now, after they bloom, you can want to cut them back if they're getting too big. Azaleas are very resilient. I remember one time, years and years and years ago, we were at Louise Houchin's house. I don't know if you remember her.
Yes, I do.
But golly, anybody in town who's been here a while knows Louise. And we cut her azaleas way back. They looked like antlers.
She probably had a canary at the time.
She did. But they came out, and I got a phone call and said those are the most beautiful flowers they've ever done. We cut them back, and I fertilized them and mulched them down real good. Mm-hmm. And they came out of it. This was May and June when we did that. And they bloomed real heavily. So sometimes they just need to be recharged like that. And it'll be time to do that directly after they bloom.
Okay.
So azaleas. We planted a whole bunch of them this week, too, in pure peat.
Yep.
So they need that low pH. What we call ericaceous.
Okay.
Like a low pH soil.
800-749-5936, the telephone number to call to get you on the air on Green Country Gardener. And we'll accept your phone call right after this break. Green Country Gardener.
Spring is upon us, and that means it's time to use pre-emergence for your lawn. Green Thumb Nursery has pre-emergence that will tackle those weeds and 5-star fescue blend for sowing. Check out their geraniums, over 1,000 in stock to choose from, and be sure to pick up your shamrock plants too. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
These days, it's easy to have information overload. Sometimes I just want to kick back, hear my favorite music and the news that affects me. That's why I stay tuned into my local radio station. When important news happens in my part of town, I hear it from them first. For the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out.
A special Passover message from the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Here's Fellowship founder and president, Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, on why matzah, or unleavened bread, is such an important part of the Passover tradition.
In Exodus chapter 12, we read, "In the first month you are to eat bread made without yeast. For 7 days no yeast is to be found in your houses." You may recall that the Israelites were in such a hurry to leave Egypt, they didn't even have time to bake bread. So they took the dough with them but baked it without yeast or leaven. The result was matzah, an unleavened cracker-like mixture of wheat and water. In fact, Passover is often referred to as the festival of the unleavened bread.
You can ensure a needy Jewish family has all the food and ingredients necessary for Passover by visiting ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
The telephone number that gets you on to Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. And it is listener participation radio. We expect your phone calls on a regular basis, and we're always trying to answer gardener questions by folks who call in items too, Larry. And if we're talking about green grass and you want to talk about weeds, then give us a call. We'll answer that question
weeds.
For you. Yeah.
Okay, I was looking at last year's precipitation.
Yes.
And between the middle of October and the end of December is virtually flatlined. We didn't get any rain, but we did get some almost some record cold, preceded by some almost record highs. And because of that, the dwarf yaupon hollies are having problems.
Yes, you stressed them.
Some of them are not leafing out. In fact, they're turning brown. We got these little brown hemispheres on the... because it was really, really dry, and they just can't tolerate drought associated with cold.
Mm-hmm.
It actually brings them down another 2 or 3 USDA zones when they're really dry in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
In front of my house, I kept them watered, and they're fine. Okay. I had one that did it, but it's just the odd one out, I guess. But but there are a lot of them in town that got frozen out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily because it was really cold before that spell hit, and everybody stopped watering. And then they didn't water for that entire period, and it caused a lot of stress on the plants. Now, there's two schools of thought on that. You can replace them, or you can just cut them back. They will come back.
Okay.
So just cut them back.
It's a matter of how patient you want to be, I guess.
Yeah. They already have a root system established, so it will start the top back up again, and chances are it'll recover just about as fast as, and it'll be about the same size as the new one by the end of the growing season.
Okay.
So cut it back, and if you don't see any green real close to the ground, chances are it killed the whole plant. So it's not a matter of species selection. It's not a matter of soil type or anything. Well, the soil type has a lot to do with it. If the soil isn't right, it's going to be under more stress too.
Right.
But it's just a cold snap that cut the dwarf yaupon hollies back. So... It's a plant that's kind of valuable in the landscape in that it does stay rather small, and it's easy to control and trim and all that, and it's a good utility, if you will.
Well, it's one of the, just as I have done this program with you over a number of years. It's one that you mention frequently because I know you use it to either solve a problem in a landscape or to add interest where maybe some of the other customer choices might not work.
Right, and it doesn't get so many low windows, too.
Yeah.
It's easy to keep down. I've got some at my house that are, I know they're 30 years old, and they're not even knee-high.
Mm-hmm.
And I got them with the hedge trimmers last weekend. Just cut them down.
And it works.
Yeah, I didn't have Kevin Potter's diesel-powered hedge trimmers. I used my electric ones.
Well,
but it worked okay.
The gardener does what a gardener needs to do.
But occasionally, you got to cut them back
yeah.
and keep them in bounds. And in front of my house 2 years ago, I had a lot of them do the same thing. They browned out, and they're all the same size right now. So mm-hmm. they'll come back.
Okay.
You just have to cut them back. And make sure to water things. And I always say this in the fall, it's time to put down the mulch in the fall
mm-hmm.
because you need to conserve that moisture. And if there's not an adequate supply of mulch or if the area dries out real quickly, then you might want to go ahead and water those in the spring. So that's kind of the deal with those. It's time to fertilize them now, too, as I mentioned earlier. So, golly, in the vegetable garden,
yes.
I planted my radishes last weekend.
Oh.
I haven't been back there to look. They're probably up. They come up in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. You can harvest them in about 2 hours. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. And the onions are doing up pretty good. So that's kind of what we wanted to stick with right now, cool season crops. It's a little bit late for peas. They need to go in late February. So
wow.
They probably won't produce in time before the heat. So there are some more heat-resistant varieties. So mm-hmm. perhaps... if you like eating your vegetables with a knife, you might plant some peas.
Okay.
It's too early for beans and tomatoes, not too early for lettuce. It's just fine for lettuce and spinach at this point. Carrots can be planted right now.
If somebody was still starting their tomatoes from seeds, are we past that window? Can they still catch up and do that?
Not necessarily. It takes about 6 weeks for that to be ready to go outside. And it's not the first of... Well, you'll have about 6 weeks.
I'm going to say, you're right on it then, yeah.
So it's not too late to start those now. I was at somebody's house, they had them outside, and the wind blew them all away. So, mm-hmm. good golly. So, yeah, you just kind of laughed, oh well. So, geraniums, we've got lots of geraniums at the nursery, too.
Oh, yeah.
We grow thousands of those. So, we export a lot of those to other nurseries. So those are, the selection's really good right now. They make good plants stay on the patio right now for mm-hmm. some color.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them in if it's going to get cold. And geraniums really last a long time.
Seems like the color palette has extended a lot recently.
Yes, anywhere from a pink to a watermelon pink to a magenta, mm-hmm. a light magenta color mm-hmm. to a deep red. There's all kinds of colors and configurations too. So. I like the salmon ones. They seem to be very prolific bloomers, and the brightness of the flower shows up well in the landscape.
Okay.
So maybe a salmon-colored geranium would be in line, too. So, yeah, don't forget those in the landscape. So they're coming out real good. So it just, things are just growing.
That's great.
And perennials, our selection of perennials increases every week as they get matured and ready for market.
Mm-hmm.
Out back, we bring them up front. Out of the cold frames and into the cold.
Yes.
So they're ready to go out in out on your landscape. So there are a lot of perennials that do very well. And the perennial of the week is a heuchera.
Oh, okay. Million bells.
Yeah, well, yes, you know, yes. No, that's not million bells.
No?
Heuchera, no.
Heuchera. Oh, I'm sorry.
Heuchera it's called chatterbox.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Or coral bells, one of the two.
I know there's bells that were in there somehow. Yeah,
so yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know. So anyway... They grow in almost any soil and very little disease, very little insect problems. The flower show is variable from between the varieties, but the most part is very delicate and lacy in appearance when they do bloom. They're deceiving for such a durable plant. This one prefers a well-drained soil. At least half the sun will do well. What I like about these is it gives you foliage color. Yeah, reds and tans and lime colors and yellows,
mm-hmm.
brown colors too. All these leaves, and I like to mix them up in the landscape. So you have this potpourri of different colors in a certain part of the landscape. And the Heuchera is an extremely tough plant.
Yeah.
It doesn't like a whole lot of hot sun. It does need some shielding from the afternoon sun.
Okay.
For it to do well. But other than that, it's an excellent plant in the landscape for a very carefree grouping of plants that'll give you some leaf color as well as some flower color throughout the summer. Now, it's one of the last ones to go in the fall and one of the first ones up in the spring. So I was at a house this week and we planted a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And she's worried about them because they look like they've been blown up or something. I mean, they're just, but there's new leaves starting to come out. And I said, just wait a week of warm weather. They'll come out and do really nice. So we call it Heuchera.
Yes.
H-E-U-C-H-E-R-A. Very versatile plant. We have a caller.
We do have a caller, and we'll say good morning. You are on Green Country Gardener. How can we help you out this morning?
Yes. When is the best time to plant corn?
Corn after April 15th.
Okay.
The ground, it'll do better if the ground is warm.
Right. Well, how come everyone always says when the red buds bloom?
I don't know.
Okay.
It depends on when they bloom in relation to the weather. Of course,
okay.
Now further south, that's true for sure. But up here, I would wait till the middle of April.
Okay. Well, I've seen a foot of snow in April, so that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Well, see what the weatherman has to say too before you do that.
Okay. But, we can't always believe them though.
Well, in the middle of April, you'll have a 10-day forecast, and usually that's safe enough. But really, okay. when the ground gets warm is one of the better times to plant that, because it does like it warm.
Okay. There's some trees that are blooming that look like a red bud, but what are they?
Well, the red buds.
The colors are darker.
The red buds are starting to bloom at this point.
Okay, but some of them are darker colors. Is that just a different variety?
That's some species or subspecies of the Chinese redbud. The Oklahoma redbud is a cross between the two, and there's some others, and the flower tends to be darker on those varieties.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. We'll take our final break and continue with your calls on Green Country Gardener coming up in just 2 minutes.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but you grew up and things changed. Well, it's time to put it back on your list. Innovative things are happening in teaching today, and you can be a part of it.
Make more. Teach. Visit teach.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number that gets you onto Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Still about 3 minutes, more than adequate time to get your question answered by Larry Glass. And lines are open right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have some elephant ear bulbs. We have some for $22 a piece.
That seems very inexpensive for elephant ear bulbs.
It's kind of high.
Really?
But
okay.
It'll feed a family of six.
Of six elephants? No.
No. But it's great big giant bulbs. We've got some.
Okay.
So if you want those great big elephant ears,
yeah,
we've got some of those great big bulbs. I'm telling people to dig a hole the size of a bushel basket,
yeah,
and replace it with compost. Then you'll have big leaves on it, and they like that loose type soil.
Hmm.
So elephant ears are it's still a little early to plant them, but hang on to them. You can get them started in a big bucket if you want,
mm-hmm,
and you get a heads up on the competition that way.
Okay,
if you can keep the temperature above 55 degrees consistently, they'll take off and do real well.
Well, let's see, low Monday night, 58, low Tuesday night, oh, down around 40, I think you lose there. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the ground temperature is a little chilly then,
mm-hmm,
yet, so I think it's about probably upper 40s, lower 50s right now.
Yeah, I would say that'd be adequate.
So it's too early to plant them, but anyway, you have to get them in when they're available, and we've got them ready to go, and we got other sizes too. They're not all that expensive, but
no,
we got some smaller ones too.
If you're going to keep them in the garage or someplace, do you have to, like, keep them dry? You make sure that you don't...
Yeah, I had mine in the garage, and when it got really cold, I got a thermometer in there, and I had to bring in my cannon bulbs and my elephant ears in,
mm-hmm,
because it's too cold now. Now I got to bring them back outside. So,
okay.
But anyway, cannas, yeah. It was cold this winter.
Yes.
And I dug all of mine up. Thank goodness I did, because those that are in the ground didn't make it. I checked them out, and they're all squishy.
Ooh.
So... might have to get some new cannas this year. Some of them will survive. You'll get some percentage that'll make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you should have dug them up, Charlie. Don't leave your cannas.
I don't have any, but I'll take that advice. If I had some, I'll.
Yeah, so we'll have some new ones if you need them. So that's about it. You need to get your ground ready for your annuals. Get your ground ready for your tomatoes.
Is that more than just a turnover right now?
Well, pretty much so. If your soil is real heavy, if it's difficult to dig up, you might consider adding some compost.
Okay.
Something loose to the soil to help it, to make it easier to plant when the time comes.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the ground ready, the planting is so much fun then.
Sure.
But if you buy the plants, you can't dig a hole in the ground. It's really hard as a rock. They won't grow, and it really won't succeed, and it really won't do very well. But anyway, anytime you dig in the ground or plant some vegetables or flowers or trees or shrubs, you want to keep that shovel sharp, Charlie.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll talk with the listeners again next week, just about this same time, for Green Country Gardener News on the way next. Don't wait for a rumble. Get earthquake insurance at Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227-CQ Bartlesville.